In this episode of Bear Podcast, we interviewed Neil Plaxi, editor of Active Duty, Gay Erotic Military Romance. Enjoy the show.
Bear Podcast, 526.
Hey, all you bears!
He steps into bumping the big hairy man.
So scientists may have finally solved the puzzle of what makes a person gay.
Well, I'm not taking you to some scrub there fixing for you.
Can I do the podcast in my underwear?
Gay, the geek and the bizarre.
It's one of those things that is funny, cute,
white. Two glasses of wine.
He's a lightweight, so it don't take much.
You're listening to BearPodcast.com.
Okay, fine. You really have to.
Welcome everyone to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I am Ray.
Yes, I'm Nard. This is episode 526, and it's July 8th. Yeah, Tuesday.
Okay. 4 days after the 4th.
Yes, it's 4 days after the 4th because, you know, it's a holiday. Happy birthday, America, I guess.
Happy Independence Day.
Happy Independence Day.
And we ain't talking about Will Smith either.
Yeah, 4th of July. It's just an exciting weekend, but this is a long show right now, so we have an interview. But what we'll do is really just, you know, split the show and everything. So I'll be out next weekend.
Oh, he'll be out. Like he's not out now, but he'll be out, even more out
next
week.
I'm out, hey! No, okay. Anyway, so coming up is an interview with Neil Plaxi. Tell us about Neil Plaxi.
Neil Plaxi is the editor of Active Duty, Gay Military Erotic Romance. Mm-hmm. Neil Plaxi is author of 19 novels and collections of short stories, as well as the editor of many anthologies for Class Press, including Hard Hats, Surfer Boys, Skater Boys,
Hot.
The Handsome Prince, Hot. Model Men, Sexy Sailors,
Hot.
And Beach Bums.
Hot.
He began his erotic writing career with a story for Honcho magazine called The Cop Who Caught Me. And has been,
I used to love the name.
That's right. Honcho was old.
The Cop Who Caught Me. Thing.
Has been writing about cops and sex ever since. Most recently with 7 novels and the Mahou, is that how you said it?
Mahou
series, which means gay in Hawaiian, which is why I can't say it.
Really? Mahou?
That's what he said.
That's what he said, okay.
Yeah. He lives in South Florida. You can find him at his website, www.mahoubooks.com, which is MAHUBOOKS.com. And a little bit more about the anthology is the public displays of affection between soldiers and other men, the first same-sex service academy prom dates, the first same-sex military weddings to serve illustrate something we have known all along, that gay men are strong, brave, and resilient, the very characteristics that make a great soldier.
Yes, that's awesome. So Neil Plaxi, join us, and here's our interview with Neil. Joining us today is Neil Plaxi, and it's an honor to have you on the show. Welcome to the show, Neil.
Well, thank you very much. I'm so delighted to be had.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. So Neil is an author, and we're actually featuring he has this book called Active Duty, Gay Military Erotic Romance, and I should say I'm really impressed.
You just like it because they talk about having sex, man.
Well, yeah, that's part of it, but yeah.
Okay.
So Neil, tell us about the this collection of short stories that you came about. Why is it a military theme?
Well, I think there's just something very sexy about a man in uniform,
mm-hmm.
first of all. You know, maybe it's because those sailors and soldiers and police officers and firefighters all, you know, have to be in good shape to do their jobs, and so their uniforms fit them very well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's also that sense of, you know, those are people who are there to protect us. And there's something very sexy and romantic about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed, the first thing that I thought about, at least, was, wow, I'll bet there's a lot of gay men in the military now who no longer have to hide or lie. And what's that like? You know, so much of erotica is about the thrill of the new, you know, meeting somebody and sneaking away and, you know, forbidden passion and all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, what's that going to be like in the military now? And so it was, you know, I was very intrigued by it. And I put out a call to writers that I knew and then also on open sites to say, hey, have you got a story to tell about this kind of situation?
Mm-hmm.
And I was really delighted to see the great stories that I got. And, you know, one of the things that was surprising to me was how romantic some of these stories really were.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, where the subtitle comes in, because there really were, you know, and I'm sure that there are real life counterparts, but there's a lot of stories of men who were in relationships that they had to keep hidden for the sake of their careers, because of their dedication to, you know, protecting and serving our country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I grew up around in Augusta, Georgia. So there was Fort Gordon there. And I remember when I was first coming out, all the gay military guys tried to live off base, and they all shared houses together.
You could tell they're gay.
Huh?
You could tell they're gay.
Well, when they walked up to the bar, you could.
Oh, okay.
When they walked to the gay bar, that's pretty evident. But I always thought that was kind of funny. The way they hit it was they all became roommates, and they all actually rented houses a couple houses down from each other so they could watch out for each other. But I thought it was hilarious that they did that. So
Neil, where are you based, by the way? I forgot to ask that.
I am in Hollywood, Florida, halfway between Miami and Fort Lauderdale, in a very rainy location right now in the summer.
Oh, yes. Y'all had a little tropical storm move through there this week, didn't you?
It actually formed somewhat to the north of us.
So okay.
We got a lot of the outer bands of rain.
So y'all missed it this time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So were you in the military before yourself, or are you just like talking about these military theme stories?
I've never been in the military myself.
Oh, okay.
My father was in World War II, but, you know, was one of that generation that never talked about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and he was in military intelligence, so he couldn't really talk, supposedly.
Oh.
And, you know, he spent his time outside Washington. So, you know, didn't have like a lot of great battle stories to tell, kind of thing, you know, kids want to learn about.
Yeah.
So, but I, you know, I just was fascinated by the news report. And to be honest, I thought there was a marketing hook here too.
Well, there you go.
Of course.
It's a way to sell some books.
Yes.
Well, there's a
pick up on the news hook. The next book that I have coming out with Claes is going to be out in January, I believe, and that is called Take This Man, and it's about couples after the fall of the Defense of Marriage Act.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice.
So it's very recent then.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's lots of change going on in the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have an imagination like mine, you hear a story and then think about the erotic aspects of it.
Ah. So it takes a dirty mind is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Love it.
Were any of the authors that submitted stories, were any of them former military or active military?
Not as far as I know.
Okay.
I never particularly asked them. I can tell you that, you know, the two women from England, you know, probably not military. Most of the people that I know personally, and there's a bunch of people that I don't know, you know, never only know through this anthology. The ones that I know are, you know, your garden variety gay guys.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
Actually, so I guess that kind of blows the next question out of water. Was this fact or fiction?
Yeah.
Dang.
You know what? I think it's fiction.
Really?
I think the best fiction has some fact in it, let's say.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some...
The sexual details of the stories, probably based in fact, you know, to know what it's like, what it feels like to perform certain acts or have certain acts performed on you.
Yeah.
But you know, the actual details of being in the military, being in battle, and, you know, I think everybody's had a demanding boss, for example.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are always comparing their bosses to drill sergeants. Okay. So, you know, there's a lot of those experiences, I think, that officers can draw on to create good erotic fiction.
Yes.
And it's, you know, to me, they've got to be good stories, too. There's, you know, you want to get involved in the characters for those few pages. You want to see somebody else's life. You also want to, you know, have some fun and get a little thrill. But, you know, to me, just reading about, you know, slot A getting poked into, you know, point piece A getting poked into slot B, not very interesting.
That's true.
I want to know what it feels like to be that person on either end.
Yeah.
And when they say 9 inches, it really is 9 inches. Yeah, I always think so. There's
no,
one. No, it's not. It's fiction too. Oh no, it's fiction also. Damn.
I try and go for more towards the realistic end.
Oh, okay.
Because I want them to be stories about somebody you could meet in a bar, for example.
Yeah.
Somebody you might know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you exaggerate, you know, those attributes, it makes it a little bit harder to believe. Mm-hmm.
It was kind of hard to believe. Yeah, you're right. But it's part of the story. But then it's really hot. Okay, I'll be honest with you, Neil. I actually read the first chapter in the Weekend Leave, and oh my God, I think it's a pretty good told story about the military and stuff like that. You know, meeting someone and connecting and stuff like that.
Wait till you get down to the Marines, wrestling, and a drill sergeant.
Marines, wrestling? See, I have some, oh, God.
So you got to keep reading, Maynard. Okay. Wait till you get to a couple towards the end.
That is so fun.
So
you know what? And I think it's the kind of book you can read in sections. It's not something you need to, you know, sit down and read all the way through at once.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of fun to have something to look forward to and say, oh, I'm gonna dip into that book again and read the next of the stories.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of experience I want to create for people. I want them to look forward to reading it.
That's right.
And I try in the books that I've edited to, you know, to be consistent in a way, in the sense of, if you pick up one of the many now anthologies that I've edited for class, you know, you'll get good writing, you'll get good grammar and punctuation, believable characters and stories, you know, a hint of romance along with your erotica. I think that's important to people know that they're getting a good quality product.
Yeah.
You know, your people spend their hard earned money for this stuff. I want it to be worth their while.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also a long one. So tell me, how long did it take you to compile all these?
The actual process of the anthology is a long one, because I put out the call. First of all, I have to suggest the idea and, you know, get an approval from the publishers. Then I put out a call to, you know, writers that I know. And also there's a bunch of websites on the internet for, you know, calls for stories.
Mm-hmm.
And then I give people a couple months to write the story and get it to me.
Okay.
Then probably takes me a month or two to go through, read everything. I do edit the stories. You know, I'm an English teacher by trade. And so I fix people's punctuation if it needs to be. And I will, you know, say, gee, this just doesn't seem reasonable that this character would behave in this way. Mm. You know, can you massage it a little bit? Or, gee, I suggest you do this or that.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of back and forth with the authors. One of the authors just sent me a really nice email saying he got a glowing review. One of his stories was called out on somebody's website, given a glowing review, and he said, you know, this is much better story based on your input. So thank you very much. I was, oh, that's great. Pleased that, you know, they thought it worked out. Then I send the manuscript off to the press, and they have an editor look at it. It comes back to me with some, you know, maybe cut this, or, you know, here's some problems. I guess their proofreader was somebody who had a military background and pointed out that some of the military details were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to go through and fix those. You know, it's a long process. I don't quite remember when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was knocked out, but it was over a year ago.
Okay.
So probably, you know, a good 15 months from start to finish.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So that takes a while.
Takes a while. You know, I should tell you, Neil, Ray here is a, you know, kind of an aspiring writer himself.
We'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that later.
Okay, we'll talk about it later.
I got to finish a book first.
I always have a couple of pointers for people who want to write this kind of story.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Well, what advice can you give people that want to write like this?
Yeah.
I mean, writing in general,
Well, writing in general, two things make you better. One is to read other people's stuff, and try and read as a writer. So that if you're turning the pages when you get to the end of that chapter, you just have to know what happens next. Stop and think about, or go back a second time, how did the author do that? What did they structure to make me want to turn that page? Mm-hmm. And I think reading gives you the idea of how language flows, how it goes together, an idea of paragraphs and style and all that kind of stuff. And the other thing I tell people is just write. The more you write, it's like a muscle, the better you can get at it.
Mm-hmm.
And gradually you start to realize, I did that wrong last time too, but then I figured out how to fix it. So mm-hmm. now I'm just going to fix it right away.
All right.
Yeah. And for erotica in general, I like something to start out with a little sexy bang to it. I want to see something. It doesn't have to be the actual act, but it's got to be, something caught your eye that's a sexy guy, and how did he move, or what did he say, or, mm-hmm. Something that gets the juices starting to flow.
Yeah.
And then, often there'll be a quick, right after that, there'll be some kind of a quick sex scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we slow down where we get more into the characters and who they are and what this means to them. And then maybe some kind of conflict that keeps them apart for the moment. Mm-hmm. And then, bring it all home and have a, have a happy resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Either it's, even if it's just happy for now, we looked at each other and smiled.
Yeah. There you go.
So if people have aspirations of writing erotica or any stories, how do they get that? How do they get it published? How do they get it to people like you to get it out there?
You can look at places like, there's an erotic writers. If they just Google call for submissions, that's Ooh. The phrase. There'll be lots of places online where things are posted. The place that I often post with has, often has 4, 5, 6 different calls for different things. And so, you just look at that and say, okay, this person wants, or this editor wants, here we are, call for submissions. It's eroticareaders.com.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
And they're looking for, right now, a cowboy one. There's a warlords and warriors one.
They have a quota.
You just click on it. You click on the link. You read what the author wants, what the editor wants. I'm looking for stories of hot cowboys,
mm-hmm.
Having sex out on the range. And then, you come up with your own spin on it and send it off.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Let's talk about the electronic forms. Are these books that uh-huh. your books, are they in electronic form right now? Do they have a digital down?
They all come out in ebook, but they come out at the same time in print. I find that there are a lot of older readers who enjoy this kind of writing, who are still wedded to the print book or magazine. But as well, there's a whole new generation of guys and straight women too who love this kind of,
really
stuff.
Well,
there's a huge market for
straight women reading
straight
gay erotica.
Women reading gay romance, first of all, but then after that, gay erotica. And a lot of these ladies like it really dirty.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
They want the stuff that has the 5 flames on it.
Wow.
Not just, not just a little bit of, oh, we kissed. Uh-huh. They want to know all this stuff.
I didn't know that.
You've got to check out on Goodreads. There's an MM romance group. It's M/M is what they call it. Slash fiction comes out of the people who were writing about Kirk and Spock getting it on.
Oh, the slash stories. The slash stories, okay. You're right.
A lot of those women came out of slash fiction. So M/M romance is what it's called. It's the sixth or seventh largest group on Goodreads, has 14,000 members, most of them straight females.
Oh.
They have all kinds of posts about gay sex and, you know, what's a Jacob's ladder and what's this piercing and what's that piercing and what does it really feel like and all this kind of stuff. They're just wild. That's gone wild.
Wow. That's exciting.
Well, I've noticed in most of my erotic reading that most of the gay erotic stories out there are written by women.
Quite a lot of them are.
Wow.
I think my books are about 50-50. You know, 50% men, 50% women.
Yeah.
And I challenge anybody to be able to tell, you know, to look at it without knowing the author's name. And honestly, some of them are pseudonyms, so even though it might have a male name on it, if there could be a woman behind it, but to read it and say, can you really tell whether this was written by a woman or a man?
Yeah. You know, in my head, it's just, I couldn't get my head wrapped around it, that the stupid side of me would ask, what do they know about it? But it looks like they know a lot then.
Yeah.
Girls know.
Well, it's fantasy,
they know
Maynard.
A lot about men. They love men.
They love men to the point that they make gay erotic. Okay.
Yeah.
That's very intriguing.
You know, the analogy people use always is straight men and lesbian porn.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess it's you know, just a something that it's there's equal opportunity. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and you know, as some of the women I know who write this have said, they love men's bodies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they love writing about men's bodies. Also, they like. In traditional het or heterosexual romance, there's a lot of times today's emancipated women can't relate to those heroines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want two equals going into the relationship. And when you have two men, you can have that.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, sure. You know, so it's an interesting dynamic on a whole bunch of levels.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Claeus has been really great about putting out all these terrific books. They really know their market. And I think, you know, I think that people who pick them, and they also do them as audiobooks now.
Yeah. Oh, which advised me. You have audiobooks yourself. As I look at your website, and you do have other works, and you have audiobooks. Tell us about your audiobooks. Yep.
I write a series of MM romance about a pair of bodyguards in Europe.
Nice.
Lots of adventures and sex. And I put those out in starting them in audiobooks. And then I also write a mystery series about a guy and a golden retriever who solve crimes.
Okay.
And so they're out on audio too. It's a, you know, it's a booming market. There's a lot of people who commute and who love to, you know, or who work out, and they love to have audio to listen to while they're doing it.
So let me ask you, who's your voice talent?
The people that I get are through Amazon has an arm that hooks you up. It hooks the authors up with the narrators, the voice talent.
Yeah.
So I just go through them. I'm not sure where Claeus gets the people who record for them.
Okay.
So I was wondering.
The guy I have doing the bodyguard books is a gay guy from Palm Springs who has a great voice and has done all kinds of voiceover work in the past. And, you know, he says he loves to do these books because they're fun.
I bet. Oh, my God. Okay. I have to check this out, Neil. I just have to. I've never heard an audiobook that is very explicit.
Maynard, you're going to wreck on the way to work.
No, I'll try not to.
Yeah, I'm not sure that people are listening to those, you know, when they're working out in the gym, for example. But you never know.
But some of that might be happening in the steam room in the gym if you're
right.
In the right gym.
Let's listen to this in the steam room at the gym. No, I'm kidding. But that's very interesting.
So what can you tell us about some of the other works you got going on? You said about the bodyguards. Isn't there a Maui series,
I also write the Mahu series. Mahu is one of those reclaimed words like faggot. In Hawaiian, it means gay or transsexual. And, you know, it's always one of those real nasty words that you'd call somebody. So mm-hmm. I'm trying to, you know, join my voice in reclaiming, you know, taking over those words.
I see.
My hero there is a homicide, Honolulu homicide detective who gets pulled out of the closet in investigating a big case.
And ooh, mystery.
Over the course of the next six, 7 books, he goes through all those life stages that you go through after coming out. He, you know, next book, he starts making some gay friends and getting comfortable with himself. Then he meets a boyfriend, and he has, you know, boyfriend drama. Then settles down. He and his partner have just fathered children. So, you know, I'm trying to get at all those different experiences in life, but by having him investigate cases that force him to, you know, move forward and grow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. That's exciting. You got lots of things going on. Talk about in the future. What are your plans? Anything new that you want to do in the future after this?
I have, I do a lot of research for books. And one of the things that I did a couple of years ago is take the FBI Citizens Academy, which is 3 hours, one night a week for 16 weeks. You get to learn all about FBI procedures.
Okay.
Get to go out to the shooting range and all kinds of cool stuff. So I've got a book that I am currently shopping around to publishers of a young, openly gay FBI agent who solves a crime in Fort Lauderdale.
So, that is awesome.
I used to know one of those here in Houston until they got transferred to Bulgaria or somewhere.
They're all based in Florida.
So I'm just always looking for something interesting and fun and looking to use the results of all the research that I do.
Yeah. I'd like to hear that this FBI agent of yours, the story you're planning to do in Fort Lauderdale, going to go around at the Hullover Beach. He's going to do some investigating there. That'd be awesome.
He actually does indeed go to Hullover Beach.
Yes!
not to the gay nude beach part.
Oh, no, it's not.
Not there, but because that's a. I'm sorry. Actually, that's in a whole different book that I have a character go there.
Oh, okay.
My FBI agent has not made it there so far. He's been hanging around the gay bars in Wilton Manors.
Okay. Wilton Manors.
One
yes.
of the towns with one of the largest gay populations gay populations of gay couples.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I write some romance novels that are set on South Beach, gay romances. And, those guys are usually younger, just finding their way in the world. I'm also, interested in older guys. And, in Wilton Manors, for example, there's an awful lot of men who were married to women, had children, finally, divorced, came out, moved to Florida, found a partner and, started a whole new life.
Bisexual.
So I think that's just a really interesting dynamic.
Mm-hmm. It sounds hot too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
We'll see Maynard next week.
I belong to a book group with a lot of those guys, and I wouldn't use hot as the term.
Well, Maynard might.
I might.
Elderly.
Yeah.
More.
Okay.
Because, we're talking about guys who got married in the 50s and 60s, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And, when that was their only choice, really.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, Maynard, you're going to P-Town next week, so you can go to the Dick Dock and do some research.
Oh, that's right. I will do research for you, Neil.
That's right. And you can come back and write a short story called Saffron Rice.
All right.
I'll do research for you at the Dick Dock. I'll really go deep dive in the Dick Dock this coming weekend. So anyways.
Sounds like it'll be fun.
Yeah, it will be, yeah. Well, Neil, before we let you go, it's awesome that we have to have you on the show. And can you tell our listeners and viewers where they can get your work?
Sure. My website is mahubooks.com, M-A-H-U books neilplaxi.com. Mm-hmm. And the publishers all also sell books through their websites, mm-hmm. As well as everything that I've written is on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So all easy to get.
Awesome. Wow. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Neil, for joining us in the show, and looking forward to, read the rest of the book.
It's been my pleasure, and I hope you enjoy it.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you, Neil, for being in the show, and it's awesome to hear all these stories. Really good. So, yeah, go to mahubooks.com for more info. We'll put the links on the website for you guys to click so you could check out his books, his audiobooks, his gay erotica and everything. So it's really awesome.
Yeah. So pretty much, if you're single, you better have a date that night after you read a story. And if you're in a relationship, you better have your partner lubed up and ready, or you better be lubed up and ready for your partner, whichever goes first, because it'll get you going. So.
That's right. So, okay, so that's it. This is going to be like a two-parter show because next week, like I said, I'll be out of town. We'll explain in the next show. So check out episode 527 for more information on what's going on with our lives. So, yeah, that's it. Thank you, everyone, for watching and listening. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or you can give us a call at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR. Give us a call, leave us a voice message, and we'll play it on the show.
Awesome. You know, last week when Dave screwed it up last week. Okay, subscribe by iTunes, YouTube, and Vimeo, and listen to the show on Stitcher Radio, Roku Player, and also on the Bear Radio Network. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And also go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many wolves and many hugs.
Wolf, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Wolf, what a bear. Wolf, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Wolf, what a bear. Wolf, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Wolf, what a bear.
You saluting me with your private.